This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Hamabam to Daf HaShavua. Tonight we have the zchus to begin Masechta Yevamos. I actually have a very good feeling about Masechta Yevamos. I was zoicha to learn it in 11th grade. I was about 16 years old, and when I was 23, in yeshiva there's a 7-year cycle. And then when I was 30, I think I was learning Yaradeya then, but Yevamos, Baruch Hashem, is Gersa de Yankusa. I have very warm feelings toward Masechta Yevamos. So let's just begin just with a few words of Hakdama. Obviously, we're familiar with the basic concept of Yivam, where the Torah says that if you have two brothers and one of them dies without children, the living brother has a mitzvah to marry the wife of the deceased. Now, as we mentioned yesterday from the Sefer Maaseh Rekeach, it's quite puzzling that Seder Noshim begins with the subject of Yibum. After all, it would seem to be more logical to begin with Kiddushin. After all, you cannot have any Ishus without Kiddushin. It should first begin with Kiddushin, maybe then Gittin, probably Kiddushin, and then Ksubis, because that's the required for marriage. And then Yevamos. Yevamos is a very obscure scenario. How often does it happen that there's a brother who dies without any children? But nevertheless, the Maaseh Rekeach says that the redactor of the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and he came from the Malchus Beis David. And interestingly, in the history of the Malchus Beis David was based on a number of different acts of Yibum, namely Yehuda and Tamar, and Rus and Boaz. So since Yibum is sort of the foundation of the Malchus Beis David, so in order to be Mechabed Malchus Beis David, Rebbe began Seder Noshim with Yevamos. We also happen to mention today that Rus did Yibum. There's a stira in the Megillah. Who was Rus married to? Was she married to Machlon or was she married to Kilion? In the beginning of the Megillah, it's indicated that Rus was married to Kilion. At the end of the Megillah, it says she's Eshes Machlon. So the Chassam Sofer quotes the Chidah that she actually had been married to both of them and she had performed Yibum. So we see that Yibum is something that was really within the foundation of Malchus Beis David. In fact, Yehuda's introduction to us is he's asking his son Oinon to perform Yibum to Eshes Er. And therefore, the Maaseh Rekeach says it's called Yevamos Lashon Nekeva, to be mechabed the two great Yevamos that built Klal Yisrael, namely Tamar and Rus. In fact, the Maaseh Rekeach says the word Yevamos, Yud stands for Yehuda, Beis stands for Boaz. The Tav is the Tav of Tamar and the Tav of Rus. The Mem is the Mem of Tamar, the Vav is the Vav of Rus. So that's quite interesting. So let's begin with the following idea. The Mishnah sort of right off the bat expects you to know what the laws of Yibam are, namely that, and there's an expression that a woman falls to Yibam, meaning if a brother dies without children, that woman is now what we call Zakuk. She has a bond. She is tied to the Yavam. She is tied to the living brother. However, if she happens to be related to that living brother, so then he's not going to be able to marry her, because even though there's a mitzvah asay to for him to be miyabim her, it will not push away any other erva that she may have. Now, what's interesting is that if the brother died with children, then this woman is forbidden to the living brother because she's eshes achiv. Eshes achiv is a kares. And yet if he dies without children, now the mitzvah of Yibum pushes away the Isser of Kares. And there's a shaila, is the Isser Hudcha? Is the Asay of Yibum pushing away the Isser of Eshesach? Is the Asay of Yibum, or do we say, B'makoyim Yibum, the Isser is Hutra? That's a shaila that perhaps we will get to. But in any event, and that's why in Masechta Yevamos we have the sugya of Asay Doichalois Asay, because we have to deal with the Asay of Yibum potentially pushing away the Isser Kares of Eshes Achiv. But we're going to learn now there are 15 possible Arayos that could be encountered in the process of Yibum. Now it's interesting. When you read the Torah speaks about 21 possible arayos. However, not all of them are applicable in the scenario of Yibum, and that's very simple. Because in order to have Yibum, you have two brothers. So if, let's say, Reuven is married to a woman, that woman somehow has to be not an Erva to Reuven, but an Erva to the living brother, Shimon. So that's only possible in 15 out of the 21 scenarios. What we're going to do is we're going to break this up, and tonight we're going to learn the first 13, and perhaps see a Tosfos while we're at it. So the Mishnah begins, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Paitrois Tzareiseihem. There are 15 women that exempt their tzara. Now Tosfos is bothered that really it should have said there are 15 arayos, because in the Seifa of the Mishnah, it refers to these women as arayos. For example, in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, it says, Shesh arayos chamurois me'elo. So why does it say 15 women? It should say 15 arayos. Tosfos says, because since the Gemara will discuss what this number is coming to exclude, it's coming to exclude a tzara of a soita, a tzara of an islandess. And if it would say arayos, I would have thought it's coming to exclude other arayos. But a soita is not an erva, an islandess is not an erva. So let's explain what this is referring to. What does it mean that these 15 women pater their tzara? We know that so a person could be married to more than one wife. So let's say Reuven, for instance, married Shimon's daughter. Reuven and Shimon were full-fledged brothers. And Reuven married Shimon's daughter. Now, midine Torah, I believe the Gemara in Yevamah says later on, maybe Daf Samach Gimel, that there's even a mitzvah to marry your niece. It's considered recommended to marry your niece. So Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. There's a mitzvah to marry your niece. It's considered a good practice to marry your brother's daughter. Okay, we don't do it anymore. Actually, I am aware of an instance in the Frum community recently where somebody married their niece. It's generally recommended, but I am aware of a situation. Actually, the son of a big Rosh Hashiva married his niece, and Rav Chaim Knievsky was involved in that particular situation. But let's say Reuven married Shimon's daughter. And Reuven, unfortunately, Reuven married Shimon's daughter, and Reuven also married another woman. Let's call her Shprinsa. Shprinsa will be the name of choice for Masechta Yevamos. So Reuven married his niece, he also married Shprinsa. So Reuven died without children. Obviously, Shimon cannot marry now and do Yibam to one of Reuven's wives, because one of Reuven's wives is his own daughter. So Shimon cannot marry, let's say Shimon had a daughter, Dina, and Dina married Shimon's brother, Reuven. So if Reuven dies without children, certainly Shimon cannot marry his daughter, Dina. But not only could Shimon not marry his daughter, Dina now, and I'm already getting ahead of myself, Dina contaminates her tzara. Tzara is a co-wife. The same way Dina is an erva to Shimon, the tzara of Dina's co-wife, is also considered prohibited to Shimon. Now, once she's prohibited to Shimon, so she reverts back to being a shes achiv. Because really, you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. You're only allowed to marry your brother's wife where there's a mitzvah of Yibam. But if there's no mitzvah of Yibam, for instance, if let's say the woman is a tzara, or the woman is a co-wife, the woman is an erva, or the woman is a co-wife of an erva, which in this case, Shprinsa is the co-wife of Dina, who's the daughter of Shimon. So not only can you not marry your daughter, you can't marry your daughter's co-wife. Now what happens if this co-wife, Shprinsa, goes and marries the next brother? Does Yibum, let's say, to Levi? Levi's a third brother. Now this woman, Shprinsa, is completely mutter to Levi. Because Levi, the first woman who Reuven married, Dina, was also the niece of Levi. So Levi, let's say, married Shprinsa, and Levi had another wife, Yenta. Yenta will also be a name of choice in Masechta Yevamos. So now, and then Levi dies without children. So now, not only is Shimon, remember, good old Shprinsa? Shprinsa was usher to Shimon because she was the tsara of Dina from the first Yibum. Now, Shimon is not only usher to marry Shprinsa, Shimon cannot marry Yenta because Yenta is the tsara of the tsara. In other words, the concept that an erva is usher to the yavam, not only is the erva usher to the yavam, slowly, but the erva is prohibits her co-wife, and then if that co-wife marries another brother, and that brother has another wife, that co-wife will prohibit the other co-wife. In other words, we're going to call it for now, and this is a terminology I believe Rabbi Chanan uses, and we may revisit this, an erva is poison. And the erva will poison her co-wife, and that co-wife will further poison her co-wife. So the Mishnah says, Poitrois tsarois seyam, they will exempt their co-wives, the tsarois tsarois seyam, and the co-wives of the co-wives, min ha-chalitza. In other words, when there's an erva, or a tsaras erva, or a tsaras erva, not only is there no mitzvah of yibam, but you don't even need to be freed through the procedure of chalitza. In other words, typically, when a brother dies without children, that wife, the wife of the deceased, is stuck, is connected to the living brother. That brother either needs to consummate it with yibam or release her through chalitza. But if the woman is an erva, or it's the co-wife of an erva, or even if the co-wife of an erva then goes ahead and marries another brother, and that brother has another wife, that other co-wife will be usher to the to Shimon. And not only is she usher, you don't even have to do chalitza. So she's freed from chalitza and from yibam ad soifa oilam, ad infinim. In other words, forever and ever and ever. The tsaras tsara and the tsaras tsara, forever and ever and ever. So that is the Mishnah's opening statement. And now we begin by learning some of the arayas. Now Tosis has an interesting question. Tosis, the second Tosis, in about five lines in, Tosis wants to know, once it says tsaras tsara, why does it have to say ad soif ha'olam? Isn't it intuitive? Once the erva could asur a co-wife, and that co-wife could then go ahead and asur a co-wife from another brother, isn't it obvious it's ad olam? So Tosfos says that the whole makar that a tsara is asur comes from the pasuk we're going to see later, of litzrar. Litzrar is mashma too, because there are two reishes. So since litzrar is mashma too, I would have thought only a tsara and the tsaras tsara, but not beyond that. Okay, so let us proceed in the first erva. The Elohim, here's a list of the arayas. Bitoy, a person's daughter. In other words, this is a very simple case. And with your permission, I hope it's not beneath anybody's dignity or kavod. I do want to be able to use diagrams. If it's with your permission, I hope it's okay. I'm going to use the art scroll diagrams. I think maybe many people have the art scroll Gemara, and I think that will be clear to everyone. Maybe we'll get the Oiz B'ha. Actually, I did order the Oiz B'hadar Gemaras, and if we could get it to you, they may have diagrams in the back as well. But for now, we're going to use the art scroll diagram. The first case doesn't need a diagram. Elohim Bitoy, a daughter. Daughter is very simple. You have two brothers, and Reuven marries Shimon's daughter, which we said is a mitzvah. Then Reuven dies without children, and Shimon's daughter falls to him in Yibam. So Shimon cannot be Meyabim his own daughter. Not only cannot be Meyabim his own daughter, he cannot be Meyabim that daughter's co-wife. Next case, Ubas Bitoy. His daughter's daughter. In other words, Reuven's granddaughter marries Reuven's brother Shimon. And Shimon dies without children. And now Reuven is faced with a situation where he is confronted with Yibam on his granddaughter. Ubas Benoy, or let's say Reuven has a son and that son has a daughter. And Reuven dies without children. And now Reuven has a granddaughter, and his brother Shimon married his granddaughter, and Shimon died without children. So Reuven cannot do Yibum, not to his daughter, not to his daughter's daughter, and not to his son's daughter. Rashi explains that the case of Bitoy and Bas Bitoy and Bas Benoy are all talking about your daughter or your granddaughter from your daughter or your granddaughter from your son. These are all talking about children and descendants of women who you raped. But it's not talking about from your wife. Rashi says, how do I know this is talking about Bitoy me anusasai and not Bitoy me ishtai? Because that's a later case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to bring a case of Bas Ishtai. That's case 4, 5, and 6. The daughter of your wife. The daughter of your son, of her son. The daughter of your wife's daughter. So since those cases are already mentioned, the case of your daughter means your daughter, not from your wife. Because if it was your daughter from your wife, that is exactly the cases of 4, 5, and 6, which is your wife's daughter. It's not going to make it better if it's also your daughter. So therefore, Rashi feels, and Tosfos quotes Rashi in the third Tosfos, that the case of Bitoy, and Bas Benoy are referring to your daughter out of wedlock. In other words, a daughter of a woman who you raped. But that's what it means literally, or it could be of a woman who you are not married to. So that's case 1, 2, and 3. Case 4, 5, and 6 is also simple. Bas Ishtai, your wife's daughter. In other words, Reuven got married, and the woman she married had a daughter. And Shimon, his brother, married Reuven's wife's daughter. Or Reuven married a woman, and that woman had a granddaughter, and then his brother married that granddaughter. Or Reuven married a woman, and that she had a granddaughter, either through her son or through her daughter. And then his brother either married his stepdaughter or his step-granddaughter, either from his wife's son or his wife's daughter. So all of these cases are arayos to Reuven. The same way Reuven cannot marry his own daughter, he cannot marry his wife's daughter or granddaughter. So the first six cases are very easy, and so far Yevamos is a very easy mesachta. Chamoisai, his mother-in-law.
Rabbi?
Yes, who's that? Oh, Avi, how are you? Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom. Are you taking questions?
Not sure. Depends if I know the answer.
Okay. So you said cases 4, 5, and 6, Bas Ishtai?
Yeah.
So is that, but that's not his.
Correct. It's not his daughter. It's his wife's daughter, his wife's granddaughter, either through her son or her daughter. So case 1, 2, and 3 is his daughter, but not from his wife, either from the woman he raped or a woman that he had relations with but was not married to.
So why can't we say that 4, 5, and 6 is a chiddush to say his stepdaughter, and the first one could be his daughter, his regular daughter? You might have a svar to say that his stepdaughter isn't a problem.
So case 1, when we say his daughter, Rashi says, that's talking about not from his wife, because there are two distinct ervas, one wife's daughter and one your daughter. So if case 1, 2, and 3 is also from his wife, then we're never giving the case of a woman who's just his daughter. Then we've never spoken about the arayos that are just from him and not through his wife. So we want to isolate two scenarios. Case 1, 2, and 3 are just from him. Case 4, 5, and 6 are just from her.
Is it one ever a case that's both?
Yeah. The case that's both is an erva for two reasons. In other words, of course, yeah, you could have such a case. It's just Rashi feels the Mishnah, since the Mishnah is trying to discuss an erva that's just from him, we're going to isolate a scenario where it's from him and not from his wife. But you're right, it would be, in other words, if it would be his daughter and from his wife, then this daughter is usher to him twofold, als bitoy and als bas ishtai. Okay? Next case.
Don't we have some place where there's a lumbus that you can't learn out his daughter from his wife from these two cases? Is that something?
Maybe, it could be. We'll get to in the Gemara. Number 7, Chamoisai, his mother-in-law. In other words, how would somebody's mother-in-law fall to them in Yibam. That means your brother married your mother-in-law. How is that? You have, let's say, a man's mother-in-law. In other words, how did your brother marry your mother-in-law? If she's your mother-in-law, that means she was married to your father-in-law, not your brother. So obviously, your father-in-law died, or she was divorced by your father-in-law, and then she married your brother, and your brother died without children. And now, can you imagine the tzara? Your mother-in-law falls to you in Yibam. Can you imagine such a thing? What a case. So your mother-in-law, that is erva number 7. Ve'im chamoisai, your brother married your mother-in-law's mother. In other words, your grandmother-in-law married your brother, and now she falls to you in Yibam. Ve'im chamiv, or your father-in-law's mother married your brother. What a shidduch. Can you imagine? Your parents get a phone call. You're already married. Your brother's on the market. Who? Your father-in-law's mother. I mean, this guy, this is a way to solve the shidduch crisis, by the way. We could shadchen off people's father-in-law's mothers to their brother. That would be I don't think this has been tapped into enough. Marrying off your brother to your father-in-law's mother. Next case. This is a little complex. Case number 10. Achoisoy me'imoy. Your sister from your mother. Basically, you have your sister from your mother. So you have a brother from the father. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are brothers from the same father, but they have different mothers. And Shimon has a sister from the same mother, but different fathers. So, for example, let's see how they have it in this case. Here, you ready? We have in the Holy Schadenstein diagram over here. Do you see it? You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, there is a father and mother, they produce Reuven. Then that father married another woman and produced Shimon. So Reuven and Shimon had the same father but different mothers. Then the mother of Shimon, living with a different father, produced Sarah. So Sarah and Shimon have the same mother, Reuven and Shimon have the same father, but Sarah and Reuven are not related because Sarah and Reuven have different fathers and different mothers. So basically, your sister from your mother married your brother from the father. And now the brother from the father dies without children, and lo and behold, your sister from your mother falls to you in Yibam. So that's also a very interesting case. And the last case that we're going to discuss tonight is the Eishes Achiv Me'imai, your brother's wife from your mother. What does this mean? You have a brother from the father. You have a brother from your mother. Okay, you have a guy, he has two brothers. He has a stepbrother from his same father and a stepbrother from the same mother. Now his stepbrother who has the same mother as him married a woman. So let's call it like this. Reuven and Shimon have the same father. Shimon and Levi have the same mother. Reuven and Levi are not related. They have different fathers and mothers. Levi married a woman. We're going to call her Shoshachana. Okay? That's a new one. And Shoshachana is Shimon's sister-in-law because Levi is Shimon's brother from the mother. Now, when Levi dies without children, there is no mitzvah of Yibum from Shimon to Shoshachana because Shimon and Levi are not brothers from the same father. The mitzvah of Yibum is only if you have the same father, not if you have the same mother. By the way, that's learned out of the Pasuk. It says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, brothers sit together. And by the Achei Yaakov, they're called Achim. And since they had the same father, from there we learn, in order to be Mekayim in the midst of Yibam, you have to have the same father. So Levi married Shoshachana. Levi died without children. Shoshachana is an Amana. You know who Shoshachana marries? A man who is not related to her at all, named Reuven, who is Shoshachana's brother-in-law's brother, but not related to Shoshachana. So Reuven marries Shoshachana. And then Reuven drops dead. And now you know who's falling to Shimon in Yibam? Shoshachana, his old sister-in-law. His Eishes Achiv Me'imai. And the halacha is Yibum only permits Eishes Achiv Me'aviv, not Eishes Achiv Me'imai. So this is case number 13. This is much easier than I thought. I think you all agree. I could tell by the looks on your faces. I could tell by the names on your Zoom how clearly you're understanding this. Especially the names of the people whose faces I don't see. Okay, so clear as mud. And the few people that I see, they're smiling. They're getting this. They're getting such hana. Okay, fine. So these are the first 13 cases. And case number 14 is on Amud Beis. I don't think we're allowed to read it tonight. But I do want to read the bottom Tosis. It's one of the most famous Tosis in Yevamos. Tosis has a gevaldige kasha. It's like an outside kasha. So you don't have to be holding exactly in the nuance of the various scenarios. But Michal wants me to do the bottom Tosis. Right, Michal? Right, Michal?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. See, I know my customers. The bottom Tosis has a kasha like this. The bottom Tosis has a kasha. We listed 15 ervas. Why? I have another erva. What about a nida? What if somebody died without children and his wife falls to the living brother and she's a nida? A nida is one of the arayos. A nida is one of the arayos. By the way, did anybody know? Did anybody know that if somebody violates, let's say, harchakos nida, somebody does chibuk or nishuk to a nida, that's yehorek ve'al yavar, it's one of the arayos. So why doesn't the Mishnah say a nida that falls to a yavam, there's no mitzvah of yibam? Why fractosis ein lahakshos the nida te'aser liyavam afal pisha mitara? She should be also. What do you mean? Tomorrow night she could go to the mikvah. But Tosis says the fact that she'll become mutter eventually still should aser her to do yibam. For example, what if your wife's sister falls to you in yibam? In other words, Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah. And Shimon dies without children. And Leah falls to Reuven. So Reuven can't marry Leah because Leah is his wife's sister. And then the next day Rachel dies. So now are you allowed to marry your wife's sister after your wife dies? Yes. Because by Achos Isha it says Bechayeha, which we darshan la'achar misa. So you can marry your wife's sister. So do you have a mitzvah of yibam to your deceased wife's sister? No, there's no mitzvah because the moment that your brother died, you couldn't do yibam. You couldn't do yibam because at that moment it was achas isha. So the fact that your wife died will not permit you to do yibam. Likewise, says Tosis, if a nida falls to someone in yibam, the fact that maybe tomorrow she could go to the mikvah, but today she's usur, and yet we never heard of such a thing that a nida is pater from yibam. So Tosfos says, no, don't compare nida to achis isha. Deloy dami, the achis isha shara arayos, achis isha and other arayos, the isser is only on the yavam, but is not to any other man in the world, and therefore, if it was usser at the time of yibam, it remains usser, but the isser nida is to every single man in the world, and therefore, somehow it should make a difference if the isser is to everyone in the world, then that will not stop yibam. And even when she's a nida, if you live with her when she's a nida and you're mekayim yibam when she's a nida, you're kind to her. Now I want you to go to the fourth line in Tosfos. This is literally one of the most famous lines in Tosfos in Masechta Yevamos. Tosfos says, "Va'oid nir elachalek the achos isha, your wife's sister." Even if your wife dies after achrechen, shuv loy tizakek liyibam, she will not be bound to yibam. Why? Kivan sheniftara shah achas. Because since at the moment of yibam she was pater, because at that moment she was achos isha, she will remain pater forever. Mishum shenemar deracheha darchei noyam. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. It will not be pleasant. It's not pleasant. It's not proper that in the beginning of a yibam process, the woman should be usur, and then 5 minutes later, she becomes mutter. That's not a pleasant Torah. That violates the concept that the Torah has to be pleasant. Pleasant means reasonable and rational. It's not a reasonable law that one moment she's usur to you, and the next moment she's mutter to you. It's a violation of derachah darchei noyam. And then Tosfos says, even in a scenario where she could have married a different brother in the meantime. Skip two lines in Tosfos. But Aval Nida, I Nida also, it's not Darchei Noyam, that at the first moment of the Yibam, she's going to have an Isser Nida, and later on the Isser Nida will come off. Darchei Noyam, it is pleasant. Why? Because she would have had to wait for her dead husband anyway. If she was married to the first guy, she also couldn't live with him because she was an Anida. Delabala namitzricha lahamtin. So that's not a violation of how could she be Asr and then become Mutter, because she would have been Asr to her original husband. But Achos Isha, it's not Darchei Noyam that in the beginning of the Yibam process, she's Asr and then she becomes Mutter. Okay, friends, we're going to hold it over here. And as a Hashem, tomorrow night, 9:15, Daf Beis Amud Beis. Thank you so much for joining. We're off to a good start. We're almost finished. We're much closer to finishing than we were before tonight. Okay? Shkoyach, everyone. Agot
Enach. Wait. Any questions?
Sure, why not?
So, when you said that it's not...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.